Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks to HelloFresh.com for supporting Enough About Me. You receive $35 off your first week of deliveries. You go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code Kirk35. Remember, go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code Kirk35 to get $35 off your first week of deliveries. Thanks to HelloFresh. Michael Hawley, been trying to get him on. Ben obviously produces his show, the producer of this podcast. For a while, he's been kind of yes and no. We finally dragged him in. I wasn't sure what we were going to get. What we got, I think, was a really good conversation. I think the longest one to date. So if you want to break it up over 3 days into three runs, you can do that. Or whatever it is you do, maybe a couple commutes. An hour 40 or so maybe with Michael Hawley, and we talk about everything. We talk about our different styles. What I don't like about his show, what he doesn't like about our show. The history with Mike Salk, his history at the station, his history with the Globe. His own family history that I didn't really know a lot about, with his father and his mother and his grandmother. Really good stuff. Hawley came in and did a great job. And he's not doing this because, you know, he likes me. He's doing it because he has a couple of books to promote. One's coming up next year with David Ortiz, but the one with Belichick and Brady is out right now. Go to a bookstore and get it. Michael Hawley's book on Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Michael Hawley is the guest this week on Enough About Me. I thought when you called me and apologized, that was enough.
To
come on the podcast and beg for forgiveness, a best-selling author, an accomplished man, is appropriate, actually. I think it's the right move.
So you start off the podcast with a lie.
Well,
you start off with
multiple
a lie. No, the apology. Were you serious with the apology? You weren't serious with the apology. I knew you weren't serious.
It was kind of tongue-in-cheek.
It didn't sound like you were really into it.
Well, I didn't like the fact that
it didn't sound like you were really into the
put-down. Forget the backstory. It doesn't matter. But I didn't like the fact that you threw poor Chris Curtis under the bus. He was just trying to do his job. That's all he was trying to do. Is to get a rise. Isn't that his job, to get a rise out of me?
Yeah,
the issue should be with me, not with him.
I guess.
Why does everybody hate Curtis?
I don't hate Curtis. I told you.
I do.
You hate him?
No, I get frustrated.
I like
you
Curtis.
Know how it is. I get frustrated.
I like Curtis. And I like his. I have a special place in my heart for his family. His wife.
Oh, you do? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Oh, that's a...
What does it mean? Ask him.
Oh, God.
No, his wife is a teacher. And
with your kids,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So she's cool. She's great.
There's so many places to start.
Let's start. Let's go, man.
So I want to start with the thing that means the most to me, and then we'll get to the other stuff.
Okay.
I always tell this story. When Mutt hosted the Midday Show, as we all remember what a disaster that was, and I had just started in the morning... We would call. He would kind of call. We'd talk every day about 2:30, just for like 10 minutes just to catch up. We'd bitch, we'd moan, whatever. But you stay out of the gossip stuff, I think, on the radio side, which is remarkable to me. I don't know how you do that, but you do. You generally do.
Generally.
Yeah, but more than most.
I guess so.
You're above the fray.
I'm not above the fray. I think I like everybody. That's the problem.
Okay, that's an issue.
So you don't like anybody.
Well, that's not true. We get along fine.
I mean, we get along okay.
But I always get the sense of you kind of look at me like, there's that asshole.
No, a little bit,
but that's okay. We'll get there.
But anyway, go ahead. We'll get there.
So the first day, I don't know if you remember, you worked with Mike Salk or not.
I do remember that.
The first day, the first segment of the show, I listened to it. Yes. At 2:25,
you said this
Mutt
is a
called
disaster.
Me. Called me, and I said to him, before he said anything, I said, this fucking show is done. It's over.
You thought so on
it's
the first
dead.
Day?
Yes. I could tell by his voice. I could tell by his persona. I could tell by his personality that you were absolutely dead. Dead on arrival.
See, I didn't know. I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't know then. I actually thought our first show was pretty good.
Really? I don't remember the specifics.
But I was in there. So I was sitting there. And you know, sometimes when you're in the forest, you really can't see it. I thought the first show, the pace was pretty good. It was fast. I was like, man, that went pretty well. I'll say this about Mike Salk. When I first met him, I met him in March. Mm-hmm. So he started in March. I met him.
Is that when you guys went down the spring training
together? Spring training. So it's kind of like speed dating.
Sure.
Like, okay, hey, what do you like? Mm-hmm. Are you married?
Right,
do you have kids?
Right.
What kind of food? What kind of music do you like? What kind of movies do you like? On and on. We're just trying to get a sense of each other. And I will tell you honestly, I liked him. I liked him off the air.
Boy.
Off the air, I did.
Okay.
We talked for a couple of days. I said, okay, this is going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
Now, but you didn't like the fact that the move had happened.
I was lost, man. I was spinning off of not just the move with Ordway, but the move from, go back to the move with Dale.
Right.
So I was screwed up in the head anyway.
But I would say the move to Dale, I'm going to guess, I don't know, now being in this business, you're going to
was
drive
unnecessary.
Time. What?
I think the move with Dale was unnecessary.
Yeah, but you got more money.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, but so what?
Was there a gun to your head?
What, to take more money?
To go the afternoons from midday? It wasn't
yes.
like they said you're doing it.
Yes, they
or,
did
or
it.
Or what,
they
made, or you get fired?
No, they made the decision. They
right,
made
but,
the, they
but you
made
got
the,
more money.
They made, so what?
Well, that, do you work for free?
No, I don't work for
did
free.
Did you turn it down when they said you get more money? Did you say, so what? Or did you say, oh, great?
I'm saying the blowing up the show was not necessary. We were the number one show.
Right.
And I've heard you mock that before.
Mock what before?
That we were the number one show. You had a strong lead in. Not in, at the time, we didn't.
Midday shows are very nice. They're cute.
Midday shows are more than very nice.
Midday shows are nice. You're going to go get a sandwich and go back to work. I love midday shows. They're great.
We had a great show. We were a great
I like the Dale and Holly show.
We were a great midday show.
Yes.
We were up against, at the time, Zolak and your boy Tangway, I think it was.
Yes, so don't be bragging that much. I mean, you're going against Gary Tangway.
Oh, but going against Scott Zolak.
That's true. That's before
who was a superstar.
That's before
town.
I created the new Gary Tangway.
All right,
I gave birth.
Yeah,
to
the old
Gary
that
Tangway.
Was the old Gary Tangway, right. And they just felt like we can get rid of him.
Yeah.
So then they moved on to Gresh. But Gresh, we went up against them.
Did
too.
You know? Did you know? Did you know before Dale knew that this was going to happen?
Unfortunately,
that's
got to.
That's
it was terrible.
So how
it was
long?
Terrible.
How long was that process?
Man,
do you know who Dale? Do you know who Dale did the show with the day he found out he was getting fired? The midday show. You know who filled in for you that day? Talented kid. Up and come out of Winchester, Massachusetts.
It was you.
It was me. I worked with Dale. Obviously, I had no fucking idea. And I swear to God this happened. We walked it back to the office, you know, your old midday office. And Wolfie was saying, Dale, I have to talk to you. That actually happened.
That's crazy. And, you know, at the time.
So how long did you know for? I'm
the
sorry.
The education for me was, see, and this was the strength of mine at the time and a weakness of mine that no longer exists. And my strength / weakness at the time was, hey, I'm just going to put my head down. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do my job, and I'm not going to I'm not going to go into management. I'm not going to make demands. Let other people do that. I'm just trying to do a job here.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to
well,
that.
Well, I know, yeah, and I right. don't either now.
Right.
Because if I knew then
which you
what
know
I know now,
right.
I would have said, no, don't do it. It's stupid. Now, maybe they wouldn't have listened, but they were determined that Glenn Ordway needed help on the Big
right.
Show. They felt like the Big Show was
run its course.
Had run its course. They were wrong. They were wrong.
Well,
I think it had run it. I think they could have tweaked it.
Tweak
they didn't need
the,
to blow it up.
Correct.
They blew it up.
Tweak is the correct word.
Yeah. They could have tweaked it, but they didn't want to. They panicked.
Well, why didn't they do you, Glenn, and a rotating third guy? Like we're doing now, in a way. Why didn't they do that? Why wasn't that the Big Show? Could still been the Big Show.
Why not do somebody else? Why did I didn't want to go to, I didn't want to do it. It was
did
my,
you say to them, I don't want to do this? Ever. Never,
I
not
didn't.
Once. So you kind of went along.
I didn't.
Right.
And it was a mistake.
Stab Dale in the back.
I did not stab Dale in the back.
Stab him in the back.
I did not.
I know. How long did you know for Dale? A couple of weeks?
Yeah, I knew it was happening.
Oh, that's so you did shows?
So I was in a spot where the boss says, well, we're going to take care of it. We're going to do this. And on one hand, I know it's my boy, so I know something's going to happen. On the other hand, it's not my job to tell him. I don't know. It was.
If you knew now, like the learning, which so you said, talk about the learning process. If the same thing happened now, would you tell Dale?
Same thing happened now. I'd just say, I'm not going
to
do it.
No, I understand that. But if it's something, just say something you wanted to do. And Dale, something was going to happen to Dale. Just,
yeah.
Would you say to Dale, listen, this is going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would. But that's, I'm going to give you a pass on that one. That's a hard situation.
It's a terrible situation to
so
be
you
in.
Knew that Mutt and Lou were going to take over?
I didn't know that.
You just knew that Dale was
I didn't over. Know what was going to happen. I knew, and the fact is, you know, you're talking about money. We all work for a salary. You all like a little extra money. There's no question.
Sure.
I was in a contract negotiation at the time,
mm-hmm.
and they were trying to cut my contract. So they're trying to give me a pay cut.
Cut your pay at midday.
Yeah, at midday.
Even though you're number one.
Number one.
Okay.
Trying to cut my pay. I said, well, I don't want to take a pay cut.
Do you make enough money in the other shit in your life, stuff in your life, that you could just walk away from radio, from books and other TV stuff, or no?
Just walk away from radio?
Yeah, and just not replace that money.
I'm married, man.
I understand. Believe me, I understand.
I'm married.
I don't know.
I'm married.
But so am I.
To a woman with great taste.
Yes.
So
there
no.
are children.
So,
yes,
no,
I understand.
Absolutely
okay,
not.
Okay, well, the time was different, right?
Yeah, the time was there. I just felt like the principle of it. Even if they had said, okay, you're not going to get a raise, but we'll just bring you back at your current salary. That's fine. I just didn't want to take a pay cut. I thought that was just unfair.
I don't want to blame you. Enough About Me this week is sponsored by HelloFresh.com, and I am joined by Ken Lehrer, the producer of my morning show, who's helping me out today. And this is proof positive. All you need to know about HelloFresh.com, how well it works, the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. A dummy like Ken Lehrer can use it, as he did. I gave him some of my great samples. Ken, easy?
Kirk, I'm a true idiot in the kitchen. This was as easy as it comes. Even I could do it. 30 minutes, did the braised chicken, did the Thai pork. Came out excellent. My wife was giving me compliments. Both were very tasty, fresh. Everything you could ask for.
Fantastic. I had the same experience at my house. Very easy, and they're delicious. Recipes set up so anybody can cook a delicious meal, nutritious meal in 30 minutes, whether you should cook for yourself or you're not so comfortable making home-cooked meals like Ken and his lovely wife, who was very pregnant. She couldn't do it, so Ken pitched in thanks to HelloFresh.com. The guys can use it, too. It's delivered to your doorstep in a special box. I've teamed up with HelloFresh, and they are offering everyone in our audience $35 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com. Use offer code Kirk35. They're great. The meals are great. Ken will attribute to that. HelloFresh.com. Use code Kirk35 to get $35 off your first week of deliveries at HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com. Why did the Holly and Ordway show not work? I don't know if
it
that's
didn't
right.
Work.
Huh?
It didn't work.
Well, you beat Felger Maz in the book.
Once.
Okay. You know, you beat them in the book. You were 26th in the ratings, is my point.
Right.
Whose fault was it? I would say Ordway's, in your degree. You're
no,
nodding
I would
yes.
Not. I would
stop
say.
Nodding yes.
No. I think all of them are really, ultimately, I look at it, you probably look at it the same way. I should be able to help the show. If the show is going to be better, I can do something to make the show better.
Absolutely.
Don't you look at it that way?
Sure.
So I felt like I was out of it. It was my fault primarily because I wasn't there mentally. I was still in shock from our show being blown up in midday. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, imagine like moving into somebody's house. Somebody says, hey, move in. But you move in, you don't really feel like you can go into the refrigerator without permission.
Well, that's how I felt at first with John and Jerry.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling.
Yeah. So it wasn't really the Ordway and Holly show. It was Glenn's show. I felt like I was going into Glenn's show. And it was strange. It was very quiet. It was a quiet show. And I blame myself for that, too. Glenn was talking a lot. Now, at one point, I just said to him on the air one day, I said, hey, Glenn, hey, man, why don't you shut up?
Right.
You know, and he liked it.
I was going to say, the thing about Glenn is he doesn't mind that.
He liked it.
But you'd agree there are certain people when you work with in radio. Some people you can. I'm lucky with Jerry. Like Jerry and I could say everything we want to each other. And it
is cool.
Much like that.
And it's not personal.
Dale, I don't feel, is always like that. You have a different relationship with him. I did some weekends with Dale in between, and I never got that thing with Dale. I got the feeling sometimes Dale didn't like that. You know?
Yeah, sometimes he doesn't.
Right, where it's kind of like,
yeah.
Are we really going to be mad at each other, like, for real? Like, Dino and I didn't get along great, and that was part of the reason why.
But I would say with Dale, I've never been to the point with him where it's been...
Is there parts where
we're not talking for 3 days or talking for 2 days or
really?
After the show? No.
Never?
No, like 2 days? 2 days?
I didn't talk to John for 6 months.
Well, you
During
guys
breaks,
had,
we didn't talk
well,
at all.
Well, you guys had a different relationship.
We certainly
See,
did.
I actually like Dale away from radio.
Oh, okay. Well, now I understand. Do you talk to Dale, like, during the day?
During the day.
Well, I mean, Jerry and I talk. Like, we'll talk on the phone for 10 or 15 minutes once a day just to check in. Did you see this?
Well,
Did you see that?
Well, we do a conference call.
Okay,
Do I talk? Sometimes I talk to him. If something comes up or if he, you know, hey, I want to run this by you or, hey, maybe we should go talk to Phil Zachary about this.
And right.
Let's get on the same page here. Sure, but I went to his son's wedding, know his kids.
Right.
Know his wife. So
you love him?
Yeah, I love Dale. Yeah.
Do you tell him you love him?
Yes, I've told him that.
Does he tell you he loves you?
He did tell me that.
You've never told me you love me. I tell Jerry
I love you, man.
Thank you.
Well, I do.
I'm indifferent.
I really do.
You love me.
I love you.
You have love in your... This is part of your... No, this is kind of your religion thing, though.
Yeah, but that's part of it, yes.
I know. We'll get there as well.
Yeah, part of it.
I'm concerned about that as well.
That is what I have to do as a Christian.
Why won't Jerry tell me...
I have to feel that.
Oh, you have to. You're obligated to love me.
That's what God says, so I'm doing it.
He's making you work.
That's right.
I tell Jerry that I love him. He's never told me he loves me. I know he loves me. It frustrates me.
Jerry Callahan has never... You've told him. You've said, hey, Jerry.
On the air. Off the air. I've said, listen to me. I owe him a lot. I feel like he owes me.
But that's different. That's different. You're saying you owe him a lot. But you, hey man, I owe you a lot. I've said it to a lot of people.
But he's somebody who's been important to me. He's somebody who I admire. He's somebody who I think is great at his job. I admire his passion, his craft. And I also think he's a good father. He's a good man. I like having him in my life. I feel like I'm better with him in my life. And I've told him, I love you. And he'll go, nah.
It's but like he won't to, say it back.
Trying to get like, you know, my great-grandfather to crack.
Now, can you say, I love you without saying, this is what a lot of guys can't say. Can you say, I love you without, I love you, man?
I can do that. Yeah, because I purposely try to avoid that because people do it.
Yeah,
yes.
Because that's like the whole, that's putting a softener on it.
Well, here's the thing. So, you know, when I go, because I go a lot to, this interview should be about you, not me, but I'll just say this. So I go to.
Enough about me.
Yes. So I go to therapists, you know, a couple times a week. And one of the issues is I've had stuff going on with my family here the last year or so is trying to get some closure in some ways and sort of make sure that things are okay, you know. So there are certain things that people in my life have said and haven't said to me that I wish they would say, you know, just because. So I feel like, I don't know about you as a dad, and I know that you didn't have a father in your life.
Not there.
At all, right? So in my dad...
But I'm... There's something working there.
Right.
There's something
okay.
at work there. We'll talk about it. We'll get there.
And my dad's a great guy. But there are certain things where it's just generational that he wasn't able to do. I'm be curious with you. I find that sometimes, like, my son and daughter will almost be like, just, like, stop telling me that you love me and stop telling me that you're proud. Like, it's too much. Do you feel like you go, you either repeat what they did to you or you go the complete opposite way.
Or go the other way. Now, the kids haven't said that yet. But I do. They haven't said, hey.
Well, my daughter will roll her eyes sometimes and be like, all right, Dad. She was at the swim meet. She's a big swimmer now. She's at the swim meet the other day. She set a bunch of personal records. And like I'm like crying watching the event. And she's done it. I'm hugging her. Like, and it's obviously a bunch of other stuff that's going on with me. And she's like, and now she's a girl and she's 10. She's like basically.
she's 10.
She's kind of like.
You left that part out.
Yeah, she'll be 10 in a couple of weeks. She's basically like, Dad, can you not just say this? Because I'm like, Dad, get the fuck away from me. Like, really, like, enough. Like, you're embarrassing me, you know?
Like, we go, hey, it's a swimming. I mean, come on. What are you bringing to it?
We went to the movies a couple weeks ago with her and a couple of her friends. And for the first time, she said, I took them. And she said, Dad, could you like sit a couple of rows behind us? And it was just
didn't want you to
yeah it was
didn't want
like,
you to embarrass her
it was here I
do
was
anything
like, I was like
say
oh my
anything.
God it's begun it's over
but see my kids are 4, 6, and 8
yeah you're fine that's
and
a
so,
lot of, that's
and my
a lot
youngest,
of kids at that
it's
age.
My youngest is the girl so it's just a special relationship as you know a father and daughter
it's crazy
I mean it's incredible the boys are crazy but
boys are
yeah
nice sons
I mean, they're out there I don't know what's wrong with them but my daughter she's everything she's a genius she's unbelievable
of course everyone's right
yeah and everybody right. says that about their kid but,
what happened with your dad
with my dad well and I've found out some information lately which has kind of changed the game here I was able to build a narrative for a while that turns out it wasn't true so I never knew my dad never knew him I didn't see my dad until I was 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Different dad than my brother and sister. And so my older brother said...
So the two of them have the same dad.
Same
though.
Dad,
okay.
But I have a different dad.
Right.
So my brother said, we were at a movie, and my mom was talking to some guy. He said, you know, that's your dad. And I don't know why I said, I know. I said, yeah, I know. And that was it. But he didn't come over right. and talk to me.
Did you actually know or did you just say, yeah, I know?
No, I think I did because I look like him.
Right.
And so, and I used to be a paper boy.
Yep.
So the next time I saw him, I was about 15 or 16. And I was going around the front of my house, 4 o'clock in the morning, get a bundle of newspapers.
Get all stuff together, yeah.
To
yeah,
fold
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody on my front porch dropping a check in the mailbox.
Oh.
And I went. I was like, oh, "Who's on my front porch at 4 o'clock in the morning?"
Right.
And I'm face to face with this guy, and I was face to face with myself again. It was my.
And
father.
He did it every month for.
That was almost like, and I was thinking, man, you think this is what it is? I would rather you not give anything, but hey, give me a card for my birthday.
Right.
Just, you know, show up at a basketball game or something. Or just come over and talk and hang out a little bit. So I always felt like.
How far away was he from where you were?
In the same town. The same city. Same probably town. Across town. Right. Probably.
Raising his own family?
10
his
or 15.
Own?
No. Didn't. Okay. Never had kids. Never remarried. And so I'm saying, man, wow, what's going on with this guy? And so when I was 19.
Yeah.
I felt like I was a man then. I was 19. I wrote him a letter.
Good. You should do that.
I said, look, I don't know what happened. I don't care what happened. We have an opportunity now to have a man-to-man relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm an adult. You're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just forget everything. I just want to hang out with you. Let's talk. Let's have coffee. Let's have lunch.
Yeah.
And he never wrote me back. Now, he would talk to my mom every now and then. I would say, Mom, what's going on?
Was there a man in your house?
No.
Nothing.
At that point, no.
Okay. Okay. No, what did your mom do for a job?
Secretary. She was a secretary. Great. I mean, unbelievable.
I'm sure. It's
just, three kids.
Is it mind-blowing that you're a dad to picture somebody raising kids like that alone?
I say that to her all the time.
It's like, how do you do it? How do you pay bills?
One salary, three kids.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, you know, Mom, what's up? And she said, oh, your dad said he really screwed up. And she didn't say your dad, your father. Because he can't call him dad.
No, that's not dad. Dad is your dad.
Dad
right,
is
right.
more intimate.
Father is, yeah, yeah.
And so I started to think, okay, he's not interested. And I went through all various stages, rejection, anger, indifference.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my son was born, mm-hmm. that's when I got it. I said, I forgive him. I love him. I care about him. Because I got my own son to worry
sure.
about. And I looked into those eyes. I said, okay. All right, I understand what fatherhood is. Now it's time to grow up. But I found out recently they wanted to marry my mom.
Okay.
Like, Mom, why didn't you ever mention that? He wanted to marry her. She said that she didn't think he was invested in the other two kids.
Kids.
Because I was his.
Right.
And they weren't. And so uh-huh. she just wasn't confident.
But that's still not an excuse for him to ignore you.
Yeah, but
that's
you know.
Is he alive?
He's alive. And I was going around thinking that he just was had no heart and no interest.
Well, but still.
He had a kid and he ran away. Look, I'm not excusing this. Right. You know, I believe in responsibility and accountability and all this stuff. But I'm going to reach out to him. I'm going to reach out to him again.
I was going to say, it's weird. It would be weird for me to think, like, my dad is out there, alive.
Another side of the family.
Right, look, right. Brothers and sisters and mothers and, you know, his mom and dad, your grandmother.
In my town where I grew up. I mean, I was an intern at the Akron Beacon Journal.
Right.
So it was probably my sophomore year of college. I'm an intern. I see this big story on the front page of the paper, this beloved figure in town. They called him the Candy Man. He'd come around and give candy to the kids. And mm-hmm. this guy died. And I read the story. It was my grandfather. So I'm reading.
Oh, your dad's dad. Sure.
Yeah. And I'm
so you knew your dad's name, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know his name. Know his family.
Right.
I know his family's
name.
Did
you know people who knew him like
kinda like on the periphery.
Right. I'm gonna bike over to dad's house.
No, because I wasn't sure at that time I wasn't sure where he lived exactly.
Okay.
I knew he was in town, I knew he was on the west side.
Would you ever
town.
Take that anger like on your mom at all?
No, I didn't.
No? Were you angry about it?
I was more I think I was in denial.
Yeah.
For me, I was angry after the teenage years. I was probably angry like 21, 22, 23, somewhere in there.
Right.
Oh, I forgot a story.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to buy my first car.
Yeah.
And my mother said, "Hey, your father wants to help you buy a car." I said, "Well, really? He wants to help me buy a car? I'm above it. No, I'll take the money."
Right, you know? right.
So I was okay, first job. And so I called him. And we talked. He said, "Well, why are you trying to get this car?" I said, "Wait a minute. Man, you haven't been around for 21, 22 years.
Right.
Why are you going to try to give me advice now?" So
he
gave me money for the car, like $1,000 or something like that. And that was it. But so I hadn't talked to him. I haven't talked to him since I was 21 or 22 years old. That was the last conversation.
How old are you now?
46. Be 47 next month.
So you're 46, 47. Like... And so if he came up to you, if he flew out here or whatever and said, you know, I want to have a relationship with you.
Absolutely.
You have kids. You want to do that whole thing. You'd be open to it.
I would be open
to it.
There'd
be no anger.
The Bible says, honor your father and your mother.
Well,
there
we
go.
I understand what the Bible says.
Honor your father and your mother. But no, I do believe in forgiveness. And I think it's important. I think it's important to have a relationship with them. And here, hear his story. I want to connect with him in some kind of way. It's a powerful thing, a parental connection. You can't even explain it.
Did you think of it? It's interesting now, and we'll get to the other stuff in a minute. It's interesting now that you bring that up. Did that relationship with your dad, or lack of relationship with your dad, cross your mind? You were sitting right next to me at Jerry's dad's wake, and Jerry gave, I thought, a great speech. It was a party that was like, Jesus, this sucks.
That moved me, man.
Me too.
Jerry was a superstar.
And that was his best friend. It really was. It was his best friend.
Unbelievable. Look, if you are, and I don't know if Jerry ever wants to share that with people. I don't know if anybody recorded it. If you're a parent, mother or father, doesn't matter. You're a mother or father. If your kid says that about you.
Oh, God.
Then you have done, you've done everything right. And nobody's perfect, but the way he described his father, I mean, I still remember some of the stories. He was profound. He was funny. I love the story about UMass.
No, with the scholarship.
You get a scholarship. Right. I'll pay for college, but there was like what $30.
$36.
You owe me $36.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I always think of it. Yeah. I think
when Dale, when you and Dale broke up the first time, the last segment you said to Dale was you brought up that he has kids and you know how great the kids are. So yeah. I wonder if that's always...
It's always there. It's always there. That's why I tell people I cry during The Godfather. And that one scene where he's, you know, Anthony's kind of running around and The Godfather...
Oh, he dies. The arm dies.
And I'm just like, the father and the young son and the connection and generations. Because I want to have that. And I really thought about it. I went back and forth about 10 years ago. I said, you know what? I think my paternal grandmother was still alive. I said, I'm just going to go to her and tell her that I'm her grandson. Then I said, no, she's very old and she might have a heart attack.
Drop dead.
So I kind of went against that, but I know my father's alive and at some point I'm going to reach out to him.
Well, maybe your father was lucky enough not to hear the Salk and Holly show. Maybe,
you hated that show.
Well, I thought, here's my problem with Salk. My problem with Salk, and you may disagree, and you may set me straight on this, I didn't like Salk the person. Like, my dealings with Salk the person, I just didn't like him. I didn't like the interaction. I didn't like who he was on the air. That's me. I just didn't like him. I heard horror stories about him. I experienced some stuff with him, and I was like, you know, I want you. Like, I like you. I like Dale. I like Rich. I have my issues with the midday shows. You may have heard or may not have heard.
I think I've heard about that.
Yes. Some issues, but I want them to do well. I want all the shows to do well, my own weird, odd way. I want success. Yeah. Salk, I didn't like. I didn't like the guy. I heard stories from people, and you know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
That you're like, oh, you know, people that we deal with every single year at certain events, stuff like that, and you're like, is this person really doing this? You said you liked him, and I remember Lou said to me, this guy's going to be good. Bradford said to me, this guy's going to be good. You know who said to me he was going to be good?
Who?
Felger. I did a conference with Felger. He used to work with Felger at 890. Said he's going to be good. He's going to do a good job. And
Why did they think that?
I heard Salk on with the Midday guys a couple of times when he called in from Seattle. He was different. Something happened when he came here.
I mean, I'm going to tell you what it was.
The enormity of Boston or whatever.
Nope. That wasn't it. It was...
say it was me,
it, please. No, it wasn't you. It was Jeff Brown. It was Jeff Brown who brought him in. And this is where I had an issue. I'm telling you, I was really screwed up during that time. So this is from what... they broke up Dale and Holly, what, in 2011?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah, I was starting to fill in about then. That sounds about right.
Yeah, so from like 2011 to 2013, I was a mess.
Right.
I was just all over the place. I was trying to leave a couple of times.
To what, ESPN?
Go somewhere.
Anywhere.
I'm going to get out of here. Right. I have to get out of here because, especially with Salk, because I was mad. Honestly, Jeff Brown came to me and said, look, I know you're broken up about Ordway and Ordway being replaced. And I just thought that was bad karma, too. They moved on from Dale Arnold and Glenn Ordway. Your WEEI, you just can't fire these guys. I thought it was stupid.
I agree with that.
Come on, these guys, institutional memory, everything, their talent. So he said, I know you're broken up about Ordway, but, you know, Michael, you know how he talked.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Hey, this is about promoting you, and this is about making your voice bigger.
Yeah, your brand's going to grow.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And so... the day before the show started, he never said what the name of the show was going to be. Turned out to be a blessing in disguise. See, back to the Bible again.
What, Salk and Holly?
Salk and Holly.
Why is it? Would you care about? You care about the name of the show?
I did care about the name
of the show.
Want
your name first?
I did not want. I felt like I don't want my name first with Dale. I put Dale. Dale's the quarterback. I always defer to Dale. I didn't want my name first with Glenn Ordway.
Mm-hmm.
quarterback, you got the experience, you're a veteran. Some guy coming in from Seattle.
Right.
Who it was positioned to me that it was going to be, I was going to be able to have more
impact
on
the show. It was
going
to be
your
show in a way.
But it wasn't. So they lied to me and told me that that was the whole idea.
Yeah, but the whole order matter.
But the whole idea, but you know what? No, it did matter.
My name's first on the show.
Because it matters to you.
That's it does not matter.
Yes, it does.
I
yes,
told Jerry.
Does.
No, no, no. That is more of a syllable situation.
Well, that's what that was. That
but
was
that's
Jeff
true,
Brown,
though.
That was
but,
Jeff Brown's
but
argument.
But that is true, though.
But it's an unknown. He was an unknown.
And at I agree. The time, I am not. That's true.
And
right,
at
right.
the time, you're not an unknown. You're a major true. Superstar.
Correct. Thank you.
But they brought him in, and they empowered him, and they
yeah,
were,
he became
they
kind
were trying
of this,
to make
right,
him
right,
feel like
right.
he was invincible. Well, and he did. He
they
felt
gave,
like he was invincible.
They gave him this monster push where they got behind him. Remember with Nesson, they were doing
and
all
they
that
lied.
Stuff.
They right. completely lied. Like, oh, yeah, he's watching Nesson all the way from Seattle. He's kept
no,
up
bullshit.
With the Boston Sports.
No, chance.
No, you don't.
No.
You can't do your job out
impossible.
In Seattle and pay attention
no,
to
you
the
got
Boston
hired
sports
in Seattle
scene.
Next, you're right.
Yeah, you're just
work.
Trying to catch up.
Well, how about the personalities? Like, you guys didn't like each other. After a while.
After a while, we didn't.
Right.
After a while, we didn't like each other.
But it wasn't the kind of thing where it was bled over the air in an entertaining
only
way.
Only one time.
Though.
Yeah, and right. It wasn't one of those, oh, man, these guys don't like each other. But when they go on the air, it's just magic.
Now, how do you do it like you don't fight with Salk, really, even though you don't like each other? You don't have, like, a real thing on the air where you spat except for once. Whereas I would do it every single day. Like, why? Which is the right way to do it?
What do people want to hear? People want to hear to fight every day?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, this is the ultimate.
I mean, well,
this is the ultimate argument,
you
right?
know. But with him, I guess no, it's a tough argument. I think the way you do it now, okay, it works for your show. If you want to just,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, it does. No, it works yeah. for you. But at that for that show, I don't know if that would have worked for the show because
well, I think Salk's.
This is what I learned about. I learned a lot about Boston fans during that time, and people would come up to me, and it was touching. It was touching, but it was bad for business in the right. same way. They would say, hey, Michael, I'm sorry, man. I can't listen. So
yeah, people,
right. it's not you. It's right. him. I'm out. And I would say, well, thanks, but you're gone. There's another listener gone. So I think even if we had fought on the air, it reached a point where it just wasn't going to work.
Right.
No matter what happened.
Was it part of you? So Salk goes. It was.
I always want to win, though, man. That's what bothers me. I want to
well,
win, so I'm so delusional.
Well, me too. Yeah, you want to,
when
of
I'm
course.
Delusional, when I'm in the moment, I think, oh, yeah, this show can win.
Right.
I thought every show I've been a part of could win.
Was it part of you after a while, though, where you think, okay, Dale's gone, Glenn's gone, Salk's gone. Wait
I
got to
get out of here.
Well, no, wait. Well, A, I'm that. And B, is it my fault? Like, what am I doing wrong or no?
Well, I mean, look, it goes into your head, but then you look at the anatomy of it. Look, do the paper trail. Dale, they fired Dale. They didn't have to. I didn't want them to. They didn't need to do that. We were in first place.
Right.
As people always, I have to keep bringing that up because, believe me, I hear from a ton of people every time we bring in Keith. Oh, you don't want to work with the Death Cat Holly.
Right.
Oh, here he comes.
Like Jerry Callahan once called you the Drew Peterson of talk show hosts.
Okay.
Which is a good line.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a good line.
Yeah, he's a talented guy.
That's a good line.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it. But, you know, I love working with Dale. So he goes. Management made the decision. I never, ever politic for anybody to get fired. I would never
well,
do that.
No, that I believe.
And so,
right.
So he's gone. So that's on me, even though I didn't make that decision. And then they put me with Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's gone.
Right.
In a ego standoff with Jeff Brown in a salary
standoff.
Well,
that standoff. Was butchered worse than anything of
yeah.
all time.
And then, so once again, who's it on?
Right.
It's on me. And so then Mike Salk, who does not get fired, ironically, did not get fired.
Which led to one of the great, I remember I wasn't even listening. My Twitter blew up. So I went and listened to the end of it when Salk said he was leaving. Did you know that he was announcing he was leaving?
He told me. Yeah,
because you were like, day. Oh, that's, oh, well, good luck. Like, it was the coldest.
I wanted to be authentic.
That was authentic.
I wanted to be authentic and say, I didn't want to say, hey, Mike, it's been great. It's
right.
been a pleasure.
Right.
In retrospect, it was the best thing because it really.
Oh, no question.
But humbling, too, just for me. I was just humbled and
Jeff Brown appreciative. Jeff Brown told me, and, you know, he's not one that would deviate from the truth ever. Jeff Brown told me that it came down to me or Salk to replace Ordway. He told me that. That's probably bullshit, but he
probably.
Said that. Yeah.
Probably. Now, if we had done the show together, you think that would have worked?
I don't know. People ask me about you a lot, and I'm always like, I don't like Holly and I have done some shows together. They've been good, but we've never really had that click
that
moment.
Just unbelievable. Man, that was a great show.
Yeah, but it was always.
We did a show one time, and I thought it was going to be the best show ever. It was me, you, and Curran.
Yeah, it was okay.
This? Yeah, no, that was after, I think it was after Salk.
I was actually on the morning show, and I went and did the show that day.
Yeah, okay, this is going to be a great show. It was all right.
Well, Curran's a lot sometimes, because he kind of checks out after a couple of hours, and you're kind of, when you have a guy like Curran, you feel like you have to do football, so it becomes that kind of thing where you shouldn't feel that way, you should just talk. So I think we got, and that was.
I think Curran, Curran would be good, if we had done a show, and he had said, okay, forget it, I'm leaving Comcast.
Right.
And I'm doing this full time. So he's got to do it full time because he does.
Yeah.
He checks out. He has ADD.
He
all
definitely
stuff.
Does.
So
20 hours a week, I think, for him, no football is a lot. Like the 6 or 7 months a year, there's no football. I don't know if he could do
it. But there's always football.
There is, it's but the, always there is and there isn't. Though I don't know if he can do, like, he sounds bored sometimes. You can never sound bored, I don't think. Unless you just say
unless
on the
you're
air.
Actually
unless
bored.
On the air, you just say, I'm bored. Like yesterday. Yeah. We did the show with Meter, and at 9:20 on the air, I said, we're just limping home. We'll just get to 10 and just try this again tomorrow. Sometimes it just sucks.
But I'm to finish the story, I'm happy for Salk. Yeah, he left. I'm happy for him now, truly. He's in the best place.
Well, as a Christian, you have
Seattle,
to be right.
Seattle likes him.
You have to. Even Mike Salk, the greatest test of all of your Christianity.
As a Christian, let me just point this out. As a Christian, you are not a saint. You are deeply flawed. Christianity is about being broken. It's not about being perfect. So I am the most flawed individual, and I'm jealous of you for going to therapy because I've been trying to go to therapy.
Well, why wouldn't you go
to
therapy?
I've been begging my wife
who?
To go. She's like, oh, please don't
go. What, marriage therapy?
No, just like personal therapy.
What are you begging your wife to go to therapy?
I want to go to
for?
Therapy. Yeah.
So then go to therapy.
Yeah.
You need her permission?
I think
you have a lot of unresolved issues. I mean, essentially, this is a therapy session.
This is. Really,
I could do this easily. I've been on the
other
side
so much.
You've helped
me today. You've helped me.
If you go to a therapist, I'll tell you right now, everything will go back to the fact that your dad wasn't around for you. Every single thing you do, and there's actually truth in it. Every move you make is because of your dad not being around to some extent. Hmm. And the good things will be because of your mom. It all comes back to that. In your mom, the good things that she had will be from the good things from her parents and all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's it. That's the entire thing. So when you see your kids, these perfect little things, and you just want to leave them alone, you know? Like Springsteen. I know you don't like Springsteen.
I don't love Springsteen.
Well,
like
we had a fight one time about Springsteen
on the
air. You said you kind of made fun of him a little bit. I never forgave you.
What did I make fun of? What did I say?
Well, it's fine. But he has a song called Long
Time. Being for the Working Man?
Yes. He has a song called Long Time Coming. It's not a well-known song. But he says, if I had one wish for my kids, it's let your mistakes be your own, let your sins be your own. Basically, not be mine.
Right.
You get your own, which is a great line.
That is
you know?
A great line. And I like, look, Springsteen's a great writer. And you got to talk to Scott Pioli about this. You and Pioli would have a serious
Springsteen. About
what? Springsteen, over Why? Springsteen. I mean, he met Springsteen, and they're both sitting there crying. Talking about lyrics and talking about Jersey.
He and Bruce?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that would be good.
So you gotta hook up with Pioli and just talk about nerd out on Springsteen.
What are you enjoying this new part with Rich Keefe and Dale?
Before I tell you how I feel about it, you tell me how you feel about it. Because, you know, you're pretty you're
No,
pretty
I was
tough.
Told.
You're a pretty tough critic. So
I was told by Michael Hawley a couple weeks ago not to listen to your show. That's what you said.
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
What'd
during
I
that rant the other a couple weeks ago, you said
that wasn't even a rant.
You said,
I wasn't
guys,
into it.
You said these guys criticize the show. Don't listen to the show.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. You did. Ben,
I said,
did you
don't
say
listen to the show if you criticize the show. What? That didn't even sound like
said,
something
said,
I would say.
It's like these guys criticize the show a lot. Don't listen to the show. And what are you doing saying you have much respect for 98.5 on the air the other day?
Why not? Don't you?
No, fuck them.
You don't have any respect for it. Come on.
No,
you don't have any respect.
Fuck them. We're in. This
okay.
is a, this
it's
is
a fight.
It's not fake. It's not like, I'm not saying it's a war, like a real war, but fuck them.
No, it's a battle.
Who
I want to win,
too.
Do you understand how much I want to win? Do you understand how much it bothers me? You probably don't because I don't talk about it that much. It kills me that we haven't won. I mean, I remember our last win. It was a long time ago. I really want to win.
And so do I.
Desperately.
And we're close.
But it's like this. It's like, and you guys are close. And I know I'll probably break down. I will cry like you did at your daughter's swim meet.
Right.
I will cry when we win. I'm going to shed real tears. It's going to happen. But it's like respecting an opponent. They're good. They're good. They're not better than we are, but they're good.
Yeah.
You don't respect them on that sense that
I guess,
they've been able to.
No. I would say this. I listen to, like you do, like everybody does, this idea that we don't listen to them or it's bullshit. We all know. We all listen to each
Absolutely.
Other all the time. That show, I feel like, is vulnerable right now. I think they're right where you talked about where Glenn was, you know, whatever year you want to pick of the big show, they were starting to get a little stale. I feel they're stale right now. I feel like they're ready to be attacked. I'm telling you, attack. Go at them once in a while. Give me that.
All right,
just give me that. That's all I'm asking for.
What's that going to? Is that going to help us?
Yes, you always say this.
No, I'm saying
my entire existence.
Give me a meter. I want a meter. Give me a meter. Give me 3 meters.
Well, do you know that talking about Claude Julien is going to be successful? Give me a meter. How do you know that?
Claude Julien being fired.
Okay, but
Julian
talking
being
about
fired.
But my point is,
if I go and say, hey, Michael Felger is this, Tony Maserati is that, that will give me three listeners, or will it tell some of our listeners, oh, let me go listen to them,
because they don't know who Michael Felger is. They know we all know each other. I don't mind saying his name.
No, I'll say his name on the air.
But
I'm
not going to say,
if I go on and on about him on the air, what is that doing?
If it's entertaining, it works. People say I want to hear more of it.
Maybe.
I mean, that's my entire existence. What do you think? They fucking hire me because I know anything about sports?
Do you know anything about sports?
No, nothing.
You don't know anything about sports?
I've never watched a sporting event in my life. I don't know anything. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. Zip. Well, it's not the most important part of my job.
But all right, back to
I feel like I'm an entertainer.
All right, you're an entertainer. You are. So back to the question. Before I answer that question about Keefe, you tell me, what do you think about the show?
I like the show. I actually like Jerry Thorne a lot, personally. My thing is, and I don't want to bang on Jerry because he's gone. He worked hard and he was a good guy. He's a really good guy. I don't think comedians work every day on the radio. Here's why. I don't think comedians are great listeners. And I think listening is the most important part, in a weird way, of being a good talk show host. Just pay attention. Take notes. It's the most important part. It's the most important part of a talk show host. Comedians, and it's not their fault. It's what they're wired to do, are always thinking of the next joke.
Right.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. But still, tell me what you think of this show. So you gave me this
breakdown
about Jerry.
It's better.
That's fine.
It's better. Keefe, I wanted you guys to hire an asshole. Like a legit, not like an asshole, like Salk's an asshole off the air. Like a guy like, I don't know, like whatever people think of me say or whatever.
Who's a Kirk Minahan? Who's the other Kirk Minahan?
That's the
in
problem.
Town.
Exactly. Michael, you said it all when you said it right there. There's only one.
Well, who's a Kirk Minahan knockoff? Who's a Kirk Minahan imitator?
Who would
pretend
you say?
Pretend like it's Vegas.
Who would you say?
The cover band version? Yeah, cover band version of Kirk Minahan.
I don't know.
It's not Andy Hart.
Andy Hart's okay.
Is it Paul Perillo?
No. What the fuck are you fucking? What are you insulting me with?
Right,
Paul,
that's what I'm saying.
Jesus.
But you didn't give me. I'm trying to give you some.
True.
People.
I understand it's a burden to try and do that again. You're right. You can't replicate it.
So you don't have that.
Okay.
I think
like Rich, and I think the show's good, and I like that. Here's what I'm noticing. This is my dynamic, so I'm just going to say it right now.
Yep.
You can tell me if I'm wrong. I am sensing a little bit, and I've witnessed this before. I've been experienced to this.
Oh.
What, you know where I'm going with this?
He's got you got to hurt his feelings.
Whose feelings?
Go ahead.
Whose feelings?
Go ahead. I want to hear you say it. I think I know where you're going.
I've seen where the guy who's been around for a while sees the new toy walk in a little dress and is like, oh, there's something here. I needed this for a while. And what does the other guy think? I see a little Keefe Hawley magic going on right now. And I see my good friend, my radio dad, Dale Arnold, who I like personally.
All goes back to your dad.
Yes, that's exactly right. Don't forget that.
I remember that.
On the outside, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
That's interesting.
I listen.
No, that's interesting.
You seem a little revitalized to me.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
A little revitalized.
Absolutely.
A little bit.
I am. I think the show is good now, and I think it's got a ceiling. I think it's got a lot of room before we hit the ceiling.
Right.
And the thing I like about Keefe.
No. Get back to my theory.
Your theory of the.
You can fawn about Keefe later.
You just brought it up. You just brought up the show so you could get to this whole
point. No, you asked me the question.
I asked you what you thought of the show, and then you told me about the dynamic of the triangle.
I have pretty good
chemistry with Keefe, and the reason it works is because he will tell me, oh, that's BS, or oh, that's ridiculous.
Right.
And
Jerry wouldn't do that as much.
And we'll go back and forth. So we'll disagree, we'll agree, we'll laugh. I like that he pushes back against both of us, and we didn't have that consistent. That was not Jerry's game.
Right.
Pushing back, Jerry had a legion of fans.
Oh, huge!
Who felt like, hey, this guy is us.
Right.
Just one of us. Just a fan. But Keefe is on something different, and I think it's perfect for the show. It's what we need. But in terms of Dale feeling left out, I don't think he feels left out because of the Holly Keefe magic. Maybe just trying to figure out how this whole triangle works.
So Dale's down on
how Keefe. How does this weave work?
So Dale doesn't like Keefe.
Dale likes Keefe.
So some issues there, some show drama.
Look at you. You're trying. You want it. See, that's the one thing you want in our show. You want the show's good, but you want a little more drama.
Well, I want a little more hate. That's what I want.
More hatred?
Yes, a little
just
more hatred. Well, here's an example. Classic example. This isn't necessarily hatred. And you always say, show me, you just said, show me meters, right? Show me meters.
I went to meters.
So this, so when you looked at the most downloaded audio.
I need two or three more
of them. Yeah, me too. On EEI.com the last week or so, audio most popular, I look at it all the time. One and two were the two segments we did talking about that Charlotte Wilder story. I don't think you guys did a lot on that. Why not? That's a great story. It's the Belichick, Trump, Brady.
Yeah, what do we do instead?
I mean, we beat the hell out of her
in a figurative sense.
No, instead of defending Bomani Jones.
Oh no! See now, you know, and I don't even respond to some of the folks on Twitter. You have created this whole thing because this is why this comes back to Chris Curtis again.
Who
comes back to my father and Chris Curtis. That's my whole.
I hope they're not the same person.
Maybe I don't know. I told you I haven't seen my father.
That
in
would
many
be upsetting.
Years.
That would be upsetting. You're
maybe,
bald.
Maybe he's my dad.
You're bald and skinny.
Perhaps.
Yes.
So Curtis took a long clip. Reduce it to 4 seconds. So I'm talking about Bomani Jones and how he tweets constantly and how he doesn't back down from these people.
Oh, he does.
On Twitter.
As we've learned, he does.
And then
he blocks
he
everybody.
Turns it into, and you turn it into, oh, Michael's saying Bomani Jones doesn't back down from me. And you said he's my friend. Why'd you say he's my friend? Because he's bald and black? Is that why?
Because you're both black. Aren't you guys all friends?
Yeah, yeah.
I just assumed that.
You had a secret meeting?
Yes, that's what I figured.
Is that what it is?
I'm going to be like C. Thomas Howell in Soul Man. I'm going to break into that group.
Oh, my God.
I don't think you can remake that movie today. I think those days are over.
I think that was, yeah. It wasn't even a great movie when it came out.
Did you know that C. Thomas Howell married Ray Don Chong after that movie, though?
I didn't know that.
Yes, who I always liked.
Ray Don?
Yes. You didn't like her?
I liked her in The Color Purple. She was pretty good. Did you watch The Color Purple?
Yeah, of course I did.
You did not.
We may didn't see.
You didn't watch The Color. You watched The Color
Ask
Purple?
Ask me a question about it.
I'm shocked.
Ask me a question about
who
it.
Who are the sisters? What are their names?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. All I know is that What's-Her-Face, Oprah Winfrey, would get the shit kicked out of her the whole time.
And then until when?
Until she fought back.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. And I remember,
love Harpo. I really do. But no. I kill him dead.
And that was Danny Glover, right?
Danny Glover.
Yes. And I remember as a kid, Whoopi Goldberg kissed another woman.
Yes.
Which was weird for me as a kid.
But not now?
Well, I mean, I've watched enough of this stuff now. And by the way, white director, Steven Spielberg, not appropriate for Alice Walker's work.
Well, I know the
author of the book.
There was some criticism. Very good.
I'm very thoughtful.
Criticism at the time.
Not a great film.
Of that. What? It's
a great movie. Film.
Great
not
movie.
A great film.
And now it's a little different than the book because that scene, that lesbian scene.
They go all in?
Well, yeah, it's a.
You know, she dated. You know,
like
she,
a feminist work.
You know, who she dated for a while.
Womanist work.
Alice Walker. Who she dated for a while, I believe.
Yes.
Tracy Chapman. Is that right?
No.
Yes.
Is that right?
I think that's true.
Telling me
look that
I don't
up.
Know that.
I want
to
say that's true. That. She's a lesbian, though, right? Alice Walker.
No, you have to check that out.
Because this could be total bullshit.
Yeah, it probably is.
But
this is probably not going to make the air.
Oh, definitely. Well, please, this will be the only part that makes the air. But like we obviously we do our show, and it's two different shows. We have different styles. We do more anger. We do more media stuff. We do more fighting. We do a little, whatever, edgier or sort of talk that you guys might not do. And I think I get the sense that sometimes you guys say, all right, you know what? These guys, we're gonna raise our nose a little bit. You know, screw these guys.
No,
not sophomoric.
No. Not raising noses.
We're better than they are.
No, I just want to give the, look, if the people say, this is what we want, if they really want it, if they want Charlotte Wilder for 3 hours or 4 hours, okay, we'll do it. I mean, I really don't care what we do. It's just as long as we're grabbing people. So if we grab people with Claude Julien's going to be fired, or we grab people with somebody going to her hometown of Lincoln and saying they don't want to root for the Patriots anymore. By the way, you guys seem to be like aghast that certain folks have a problem with the Patriots because Donald Trump and Trump is associated with Kraft and Brady.
No.
What's
again,
the problem?
Listen to the show.
What's the issue?
Again, my issue is, and you're a writer and a good one, you know that if you're going to write a story about that, which is a good story, I think a really good premise.
Good topic.
I'd like to read the story. You got to do better than one example, your mom's best friend at a holiday party in Lincoln. That's not enough. That's not tangible enough for me.
Okay, you want her to get 5 or 6 more people in town.
Or some.
To say,
not just Lincoln, Mass. I mean, it's she's talking about New England.
But I think her premise was, this is one of the most liberal towns in Massachusetts.
Yep.
And big Patriots fans.
Sure.
I think she's trying to set up the dichotomy of, hey, you're a liberal.
Okay.
You're all in liberal, but you got to be all in Patriots, but they like Trump. So what do you do?
What's the effect on the TV ratings, the attendance, the merchandise? Give me something. Something other than my mom's friend.
I don't think it's that kind of story yet. And maybe
it's not.
As you investigate it, maybe that's what you come up with. It's anecdotal evidence versus tangible. Because I can tell you, the day after the election, we had a lot of people, and I called BS on them too. They called up and said, "Hey, I can't watch the Patriots anymore. I've lost respect for Belichick. I've lost respect for Brady. I'm done with football." And I said, "That's not true.
We know that's bullshit."
But there are people who feel that way.
They're going to watch the game on Sunday.
That's one story. And then the other story is, hey, you might feel that way, but look at the ratings. The ratings are higher than ever, right, and people are still going to the Patriots Pro Shop and going to Patriot Place and all that other
stuff. Do you feel sometimes, like, as the black guy at the station, that when certain stories come up, you want to talk about them or not talk about them because of that?
No, I try to give everything.
A perfect example is this Bomani Jones. You know, you've been in Boston for a quarter century, give or take, right?
Yep.
Is that about right?
23 years, yep.
Do you think Boston's a racist city?
I think Boston is like every other city in the United States. Yes, there are racial pockets here.
Sure, but is it more racist than?
I don't believe in that. I think, like I said on the air, I don't think any black person who says that is being honest, or you can't say.
Wasn't it offensive when the guy like Bomani Jones, who has spent essentially no time in his life here, or Israel Gutierrez? Or somebody else whatever his name is, the guy who has the basketball podcast. We played a bunch of sound from him.
What guy?
El Amin. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he just says that, like, he said when he walks into a restaurant,
but it's
like a record scratch where people turn their heads. You have a different experience than me, I get it.
But come on. I don't understand how somebody could say that and be a part of the United States of America. And he's from New York.
That's what I'm saying.
So you're in New York. What Bensonhurst didn't happen? Eric Garner didn't happen in New York? I mean, there are incidents all over the United States of America. So it's not to say, hey, Boston doesn't have to confront its issues. Boston has had issues in the past. Racial history, not great. And that's the story for every major and minor city in the United States of America. It's a history of violence, a history of discrimination, a history of injustices against black people all over the United States of America. Google it. Read a book about it. I mean, it's not just Boston. I think it's very dangerous to kind of push it toward Boston. And some cities want to do that intentionally because it lets them off the hook.
Right.
Well, we're fine. If you come here, you won't find any racism. But if you go to Boston, watch out. In my experience traveling all over the country, I've never felt that way. Oh, now I'm in some type of nirvana where having dark skin won't be an issue for these folks.
I would think it might be different in Atlanta, say, than in, wherever, Fargo, no?
Well, Atlanta proper, sure. There are a lot of black folks concentrated in
Atlanta.
That's
what I mean.
But then outside, you go on the perimeter of Atlanta. I mean, still Georgia. They still have the freaking Confederate flag at the State House.
You don't have one of those, right?
Do I have one?
Confederate flag, no? You're not like Schilling, you don't collect all kinds of
I don't know if I should answer that question. No, I don't have one of those.
So you're not here for your health. You want to hump this book, Belichick and Brady.
No, well, you know, I didn't.
You didn't want to do this podcast.
I did.
Want anything to do with Kirk Minahan.
I did.
At all
I did.
Whatsoever.
Why do you think? Do you honestly think I don't like you? Why do you think
This is not about me. This is not.
It is about you.
It's not.
So you work from 6 to 10. I work from 2 to 6. You don't call me. I don't call you.
Well, we text every
once
in a while.
Every once in a while.
You never text me.
You send me some texts. I'll give you this. Sometimes when I get something
during the
screwed
show,
up on
text,
the show,
yeah.
You'll be like, hey, well, you know, check this
proves
out.
Proves I'm listening. Well, proves I care.
I think that's nice.
It's never reciprocated ever.
I've sent you texts during
the show
before.
You haven't?
I have.
You have not?
I haven't done it in a while, but I've been busy, man. I've been busy the last year and a half, you know, working on this book. The only reason I haven't done your podcast, and Ben can back me up on this. Mm-hmm. It's been busy.
I understand.
So now the books are done.
How
so
is the book
I'm
doing?
I'm good. The book's doing great.
Belichick
in New England.
And Brady.
In New England.
Right. I never got a copy of that, which is kind of hard to believe.
Sure. It was sent to the station.
Kirk Minahan did not get a copy of that book.
I will get you one today. I will get you. Well, I will have one. You will have one by Monday or Tuesday.
Fine. That's not a big deal.
But yeah, the book's doing great. It's a great New England book. Outside of New England, I've had a lot of fun talking to people who don't necessarily hate me, but
they hate the Patriots.
Hate Belichick mostly.
Did you get to talk to either one of those guys for the book?
Did not.
You did not?
No.
Is that frustrating or no?
It was frustrating initially.
Like Belichick
because
won't talk to you?
Not for the book. He didn't.
Why not?
I didn't ask why not. I said,
do you guys not get along now?
Well, he didn't do the book, so
what happened? When you see him every week now, I mean, you wrote a book kind of with him, obviously. I mean, you know.
Well,
you know what I mean.
Well, the first one, the Patriot Reign. Right. Well, that was, but that was more of like I was able to drop in on the Patriots for like a year and a half, 2 years. But it wasn't good, like I didn't run it by him. It
I understand,
like,
but you had to have a good relationship.
So
with
that
him to
was
do it.
That was cool.
Right.
It was a good hard look, and I think there were some things
he
wasn't happy about the profanity in the book.
Really?
At that time, he said, "You know, I'm not saying it's not true, but a lot of profanity."
But you had access when you wrote the book with
War Room. So
wait, is that the one with
Pioli, Dimitrov, and Belichick?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. The Julio Jones thing.
Julio Jones thing did not play well.
That was a great nugget in that book.
Thank you very much.
I agree with him on it, by the way. Even though it didn't work out, I actually agree with.
Yeah,
I thought
it was a fair point. Maybe he thought I was trying to screw him on that.
Gives great insight in the way Belichick thinks. Though.
Absolutely. And so this time. Asked for him to participate.
You go to him specifically or
went
through
Stacy? Went to him directly. Right. Shut me down. That's fine. Kept going. So the book is frustrating. It would be the greatest book ever. The greatest book ever written with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. But without them, it's still pretty good. So
no,
I'm happy with, you know, and it turned out, and maybe I'm just trying to rationalize this, but at least without Belichick and Brady in the process, mm-hmm. I can give it the look. I can praise when I need to praise. I can criticize when I need to criticize without somebody saying, well, you know, could you not put that in there? Or I really don't want to talk about it. I mean, everything that's in there is laid out, and it's right down the middle. I think it's a very fair portrait.
You're 46, almost 47. Like I said, you've had a successful run, a well-accomplished man, best-selling author, talk show host, all these things. As a grown man, when you're sitting with Belichick sometimes, and he's treating you kind of like dirt sometimes in the interviews, mm-hmm. is there a part of you wants to say, can you just, I understand that you don't really want to be here, but can you just answer the freaking question? Can we just have a conversation? We're both grown men. We know each other. You know, can we just talk?
Do you think I should do that next
time? No, I'm just.
I'm wondering. You think I should, you know, because I'm serious.
I wouldn't make it. I would crack.
Eventually, what would you do? Like, how would you approach him? I'm always curious about this. So how would you?
I don't think.
I would love talking with Brady like every week.
Right.
Maybe you guys feel like Brady gives you nothing, but I think Brady gives you something every week.
Well, it's conversational.
Even if he's
conversational.
Even if he's trying to kind of elude you, well, it's still interesting.
But there are the keys, and you had it with Will Fork and even Colvin. Like when you have veterans who are around a while, they feel more comfortable. And once they let the guard down, at least, again, they're not going to really, really like give you anything, but you can talk, and it's a conversation. Like the other day when we asked Brady about Goodell, he gave you the long
pause. He can go wherever.
And the long pause was basically, he was saying,
I don't want the guy here.
Which is great. That's fantastic. But with Belichick, like you know, it's not like you guys like dump on Belichick all day long. First of all, what are you going to dump him on? You know, they win all the time. And you've worked with him before. You know, and he knows, you guys know each other.
But, you know, I think we should
I don't know how you handle it. I mean, there's some weeks where he's okay, and there's some weeks where I hear it, and I'm like, in the car, I'm like, oh, my God.
This is what we should get better at, though, on the Belichick interview. We should get better at the follow-up. I think we are, at times, he'll say something and we'll move on to the next question. I think we got to, and not necessarily grab him by the lapels, but I think we got to go the follow-up to push back a little bit and to get another response. So I think our follow-ups could be stronger.
Is there concern in the room sometimes if you ask a certain question? Like there's certain things you just stay away from because if you ask it, it's just shut down, game over? And it can affect you the week after and the week after and the week after or no?
I don't think so. I mean, what's one of those issues for Belichick?
I don't know. Like, did you ask him about, I'm trying to remember, did you ask him about that picture of him falling asleep with Linda on the?
Oh, no, we didn't ask him about that.
Would you ask him, but is that something you wouldn't ask? Or you just, is he, because he's not playful? Because that's a good, that had some buzz. You know,
I don't know. It was probably a swing and a miss on our part.
I mean, the best Belichick-Holly moment in the last couple of years is
when he went off on
jumped all over you and Salk wouldn't freaking shut up. He got away. He kept on asking about the quarterback or something.
And, you know, and Belichick, you know.
That was an awesome insight into Belichick because, you know, that's what he said to the players.
Yeah, and that's how he thinks. And you know, you see how he turned that around? Because my question was, it was really, if you go back and listen to it, it was a softball question.
Oh,
it was
totally,
just,
right.
It was like, hey, you know, how do you deal with teams that are, you know, 2-10? You know, what do you say to you? I get this, and this is what he didn't like with the question. I said, I get the sense that with you, you would say that if the team was 10-2 or 2-10.
Right.
And he goes, well, what am I supposed to say?
Right, right.
That would be an irresponsible
way. But it definitely got the sense. This has happened to me, too, where you were like, shit, I just walked in. I don't know what's going on.
I had no
on.
Answer to it.
You were
he had me retreating. I was just.
What do you say was the most irresponsible thing he's ever heard?
Yeah,
that's
something
great,
like that.
That's like, we play that drop. That's
he had
great
me
trip.
Stuttering and stumbling.
So what happens
all
after the interview? Nothing?
He's fine.
No, but I mean, it's not like you don't laugh about it. There's none of that.
Oh, no, no. After that particular interview?
Yeah.
No, it was just a glare.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we were in a good place at that time. I think it's
okay
civil.
Now?
I think we're civil now.
In fairness to Belichick, what benefit is it for him to talk to you about that book? That's how I would look at it.
What, Brady and Belichick?
Yeah. Like, how does it benefit him?
Oh, it's something to put on the historical record.
I understand that.
Yeah, but I think that's pretty good, especially if you don't want
to talk
about...
Is that your pitch to him? How'd you pitch it to him?
If you don't want to talk about Deflategate. Well, I'm working on something. I think it would be a really good project, something that you will enjoy talking about. I knew, because he does. I know he enjoys talking about this stuff. He just didn't want to talk about it with me. But in 2001, you heard the interview we did on the air, and he's going back to 01, he's remembering all the plays.
Oh, he loves that stuff.
This guy ran an end cut, and then this guy got out of bounds, and then, you know, there's a pass to Wiggins. So there's a lot of history in that book that he would have been great. His insight would have been great on it. But as I said, I'm really proud of it. I'm happy with it. And I'm happy with the other book, too, that you haven't asked about, but I'll bring it up.
What's the other book?
David Ortiz.
Yes. What's going on with
that? So that was a strange process because
I've heard, yes.
A couple of years ago.
I saw you down at spring training.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I was going to be writing it on him, not with him. And then that ran into some, I had some obstacles there, not from Ortiz, had some obstacles with another publisher. They wanted it to be one kind of book. I wanted something else. They wanted to rush it. I didn't want to rush it. So we had to part ways. And eventually, I wound up working with Ortiz on the book.
So when does this come out?
May.
And it's called what? Do we have the title?
Yeah.
Don't say Big Poppy.
Poppy.
Is it really?
It's called Poppy.
Is it really?
Poppy, My Story.
Okay.
With Poppy, My Story.
David Ortiz with Michael
David
Holley.
David Ortiz with Michael Holley.
That's a nice paycheck.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Did you get into steroid stuff?
We get into everything.
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 Anything
the
you
near
would
divorce?
Ever. Anything. Everything.
Everything.
Yes. Anything you would ever want to ask David Ortiz, anything.
So how does this process work?
Any controversial topic. He was great.
Well, how was
I
the,
loved it.
What was the, how much time did you spend with him?
I mean, tons of time. Because I would go, I'd go to his house and we'd sit for, like, sometimes. In the beginning, I was a little ambitious. I said, look, you played for 20 years. And so probably need about 20 hours of your time, one-on-one,
right.
An hour for each year of your career. But it got much deeper than that, so probably double.
When did this start?
A couple years ago.
So did you know before other people knew that he was going to retire?
Yes.
And you have to sit on that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was tough.
Is that a conflict? Do you feel conflicted doing that?
But I didn't know. I knew that he was thinking about it. So at the end of the 2000, what, 14 season.
Yeah.
At the end of the 2014 season, he kept saying, hey, I'm old. I'm not going to play this much. I'm not going to play much longer. Okay, so it was more like a just like a general thing. Say, I'm pretty sure in 2015, I'm pretty sure 2016 would be my last year. It's probably going to be my last year. But you've heard athletes say that before.
Sure.
So it was not really solid. I knew probably the day before.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, why not just get that to me?
Right.
Hook me up.
It was Players Tribune, right?
Yeah.
No, he's an executive editor.
But he's got
money,
an investor.
Right? I actually heard you talk about this with Dale a couple weeks ago, because Dale, I forget what the argument was about. And you said when you're writing books, is it a takeaway from a host?
I always feel like, look, and so that I wasn't trying to, Dale, I saw the look on his face.
What
when
was
I said
the argument?
That.
What was he
Well, it's like,
about?
Oh, it was the interviews from the coaches, which I thought was totally, he said, oh, you mean to tell me you think Josh
McDaniels
is distracted?
Right.
Doing three interviews?
Right.
If you're going to do the interviews, you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
If you just kind of skate through those interviews and say, see you later, I'm back to the game
plan. Time from one thing and doing another thing.
And then imagine, they're interviewing you for a job. You don't think about it after the fact?
Sure you do.
Yeah, you think about
that. Do I think it really affected his McDaniels' work that week? Probably not.
Probably a little bit.
Yeah,
probably didn't put everything into it that he wanted to. I'm sure he's had a better week this week now that he's
probably
out of contention.
Probably.
But I was saying, like, what if I sat around, if I were a full-time author, sure. Man, the book would be, I mean, I have plenty of time. All I have to think about is writing the book and researching the book. You don't have to worry about anything else. Yeah, that's just human nature.
And you do not like the fact, we'll let you go. You've been sticking around for a while. I know you want to see Trump sworn in as president as we sit here.
Yeah. I can't run from it. I can't run from it.
He's your president.
I don't
now.
Like it. I have to say it. Yes, he is.
You don't like Keefe doing that show with Mutt. Several sources
I
have told
don't.
Me that.
No, sources are correct. I think it's a bad idea.
Why haven't I heard this on the air? I want to hear this angle on the air. You haven't talked about this on the air.
Should I talk about this?
Yes, That's all I would talk about.
This is family business. But now I'm talking about it on the air.
Yes.
So now I'm talking about it.
Someone's going to play. It'll probably be us.
Yeah, play.
Here's what I would say. Can I give you my?
Give me some
first.
Advice.
You know I love Mutt, right?
Yes.
He's my guy. You know that. He hates Leroy Street just like I do now.
You hate him?
Well, Leroy Street said he's going to shoot me in one of his songs.
Metaphorically.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's a metaphor.
I've had legitimate death threats against me. How do I know?
he's a nice kid. You've seen Leroy. He's a nice kid.
I hate him. Anyway, it's not true. As a Christian, I have love in my heart for Leroy
there,
Street.
There you go. Oh, you're a Christian now.
Yes.
Thank you. I've been praying for you.
Between you and LJ, it finally happened.
I've actually been praying for you. You know that?
You should think of it this way. When you guys are gone in the summer on your many vacations, as long as you don't bring that friggin' thing to Martha's Vineyard again this year, we have to listen to that show where it's whistling through that box. That terrible. What was that? What was that device?
But that one day it worked.
Okay.
One day it was.
I heard
pretty
the one
good.
Day it didn't work.
One day it didn't work. Yeah, it was a problem. That was my fault.
That was your fault?
I think I screwed with the. I was messing with the.
I'll tell you my move, because Jerry and I both have places in Maine. In the summer, I want to find a radio station up in Maine. Why can't we do a week of shows from there?
Yes.
What's the difference?
That's what I've been trying to do.
But what's the difference?
Perfect.
Yeah, but we'll be in the same room together, though. That's different. Don't you think? You've done shows where you're not in the same. It is different.
You guys take vacation? Your family's vacation together
no,
now?
No, we both happen to have... He really doesn't love me. He doesn't love me.
He does love you. He can't say it.
Because he's old school?
Yeah, he just... He,
you like Jerry, though.
I do like... I love Jerry.
He likes you, I know that.
Yeah, Jerry, listen. Jerry... back in the day, I love people who love the craft of writing.
Yeah.
And that guy should be writing a book. It's a shame that he hasn't written a book.
I've watched him write a column. He's a bleeder, though. It's like war.
So what?
I know.
So
he
what?
Is, he
that's the process. You got to go through it.
He doesn't want to do it.
Get up, write something every day. Sometimes it's going to be okay. Sometimes it's going to suck. Sometimes it's going to be great.
He did write some work on this time of Vietnam, his two tours in Vietnam. He's still scarred by that.
His two tours.
Yeah,
huh?
He's a great.
No. I think he's great at what he does. He's very smart. We disagree vehemently politically, but that's okay.
And the Midday guys, you don't like them. You said before the podcast started.
I said that.
I think he said that.
No, Fourier's all right. I like Fourier.
Me too. Good
Ordway. Yeah, I like him.
Lou,
yeah, he's all right.
What do you think of the station right
Lou's
now?
Lou's all right.
I don't hear you opine much on it. What's your thoughts on the station right now?
I think we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah?
I think we're in good shape. Look, I think we're better. And that's back to this respect thing. I think we're better than 98.5.
I agree with
that. I think we're a better station.
I agree.
I think we got more in our repertoire. I think we can go handle a number of subjects, breaking news, nuts and bolts, sports, whatever. Society stuff, commentary, some political stuff. We can handle it all. But I think we just need no more changes, man. I think sometimes we just get a little too antsy and try to do too many things. And my opinion, and back to this Keith thing,
mm-hmm.
See, my opinion is we try to do too much with our talent. We're trying to spread talent too thin. Look, if you want to knock them off, give us Keith from 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put anything else on this plate. Mm-hmm. Let him grow with this show so we can do some things.
But does it really affect Keith if he works 6 to 7 with his friend Mutt and they just goof around for an hour?
It's terrible. What's the perception?
It's terrible?
What's the perception? Yeah,
it's terrible radio?
No, I don't think it's terrible radio. I think it's a terrible sign. What are you telling the audience? What are you telling the audience when you have the guy on from 2 to 6,
mm-hmm.
the afternoon drive guy, who used to do nights in 98.5,
right.
Now he's doing nights again?
But I do think that if you want to... I always keep one eye on sort of on the future. So Mutt and Keith have good chemistry, A, and B, that can be a damn good show for the weeks you guys are away in the summer. That matters. Or fill
so
in
what?
Stuff.
But that's going to happen anyway. They've worked together already.
And it helps Mutt for an hour. Mutt needs that.
Well, give him somebody else.
You heard him, he's a disaster.
Give him somebody else.
Why didn't you raise some hell about it?
Well, I did.
You want me to do it?
I lost.
If I do it, it'll get done. You want me to do it?
Yeah.
I can do that.
I do.
I
want you to do it. I lost. I lost that one. I lost that battle. I tried to make it happen. And I'll tell you the truth. You really think Rich Keefe would have come here? You think he would have left 98.5 if they had said to him, oh, by the way.
Yes.
No, he would not.
If you said to him, you're going to get 2 to 6, but you have to work 6 to 7, of course he would have.
No.
Of course he would have. He would have left Adam Jones. So you're telling me he would have said, we're offering you 2 to 6 in the afternoon with Dale and Holly, an established show, a successful show in Boston.
Yeah.
But you have to do an hour a night. You think he would have said, no, I'm still going to work with Adam
Jones.
Doing
nights.
For 1 hour.
He's already doing nights.
Yeah, for 4 hours with a guy who's awful.
You think he's awful?
Yes, I do.
You will never give those guys
Adam Jones,
their due.
No, I will tell you if I think guys are good in that station.
Who's
Adam
good?
Jones, I don't like.
Who's good over there?
I think Felger is a good host. You know, I think Felger's a talented guy. I've never seen Felger's not a talented guy. I mean, I understand, like, Zolak, I understand the Zolak appeal to some extent by Patriot fans. I get that.
Yeah.
You know. But I mean,
but I think he's good. I think he's entertaining.
But the way I think of it is, I honestly think, and I say this, I think I'm the best radio personality in the city.
You're so humble.
But aren't you supposed to think that?
No.
You don't think I am?
Do I think you're the best radio personality in the city?
Yes.
In the entire, regardless of like sports, politics, anything in the entire city.
I don't care
city?
About anything else.
You think you're the best sports commentator?
All I care about is our
city?
Station and their station. That's it.
You don't think Callahan's better than you?
No, fucking.
What?
No. Did you hear the show before I got there?
You don't.
They were dying. It was over.
Man.
Awful. Awful.
You don't think Callahan would give you a lesson?
No, he has.
He would give you a lesson.
I've surpassed him.
That's why you bow down to him. That's why he's like, I can't tell a young guy that I love him yet.
No, absolutely.
He's got a lot to learn.
Absolutely. But you don't feel that way about yourself?
No, I always feel like I got a lot to learn.
So do I. But
a lot to learn, a lot.
But you don't think you're the... When you're in the room, you don't think I'm the best guy in this room.
Well, how can you feel like you're the best in the room, man? You keep calling me. What did you call me again? What did Calvin
call me? Drew Peterson. That's a good line. That's a good line. That's a good line.
How can you feel like you're the best when you call Drew Peterson?
What is Dale? I'll let you go with this. What's the best thing that Dale does?
Traffic director. Great setup guy. Gives me passes that I can catch.
Do you wish that he wasn't so focused on the text line?
At times, yes.
Yes.
He's got a...
I've done shows with him. You've done many more.
I think everybody, yeah. But him...
Oh, I don't. I turn it off.
He does. And some guys turn it off. I know Ben's used to turn it off because he didn't like the criticism.
Oh, I just don't even look at it because it's a waste of time.
But I think he should turn it off because I think he's at his best when he's got a strong take.
Yep.
And he sticks with it. And I think sometimes he has a strong take. And then the texters go all over the place. Oh, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? That's not true.
But who gives a
and
shit?
Then, right. I would just say, just turn it off and go. And sometimes I just do that. I know they're killing me, but I just got to focus on what I'm trying to say.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
Right.
I think just go ahead and do his thing. But he's very good at that.
And that's where Twitter's a problem, too. I think Twitter has affected the way certain people do shows, where if they start tweeting like, this sucks, talk sports, or I disagree, or, so what? They're listening. What does it matter?
It's all information. It's all information, but you can't just put too much, you can't weigh any of it too heavily.
Any books coming up after Ortiz? Is Ortiz done?
Ortiz is in the editing process, yes. I'm done writing, and I hope it's at the process now where it has to be. Everything that I've written is there. Now it has to kind of pass through to make sure his team approves the copy. And if he does, we got a good one.
Are you a born-again Christian?
I am a born-again Christian.
When was the date?
I love Jesus.
Oh, Christ. I mean, God,
yes. Thank you.
Praise him.
I'm telling you, you're gonna get there.
When did this happen? Do we have a date?
The first time?
You've been born again
nine.
More than once?
Well, I mean, when did I...
I was an adult.
I feel like nine years old.
In the last couple of years with you, there's a little more Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
I read the Belichick Brady book. At the end, you thank some pastor. Some
a lot of them.
But one guy specifically is just sort of a longer. I noticed I wasn't thanked in the book. It's the first thing I look at.
You were.
I opened
you
the
were.
Book. The first thing I looked at was my name. It
your
was there.
Name, your name was
I
in there.
I interviewed Brady one time. That's all
were,
I care
and
about.
You were, and you were thanked in the acknowledgement.
Yeah, but bullshit thanks. With all the other, like, it should be a specific thank you.
Oh, like Kirk Minahan.
Yes, I don't want to be lumped in with these other losers.
Kirk Minahan and Jesus for saving
my life. Yeah, Christian Fourier and Jerry Callahan.
Yeah, you don't want to thank them,
no,
too?
No, fuck them,
my
no.
teammates.
Well, Fourier you talked to for the book.
He did. Yes. He was very good.
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, I was the pastors. I think. Oh yeah, I was Ray Hammond and Gloria Hammond and Brandon Thomas Crowley.
We don't need the whole list of these people. I'm sure
Howard John.
All fine
Howard
people.
John Wesley.
Lewis, Howard Johnson is great.
Not Howard. Howard John Wesley.
Howard John Wesley.
Lance Watson.
Were you recently born again? Did you have some sort of moment?
I think I came back probably. Really seriously, about two or three years ago.
I sense that. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. I was fasting. Fasting. You know what fasting is?
Yes, yes.
So I was fasting and...
Orway doesn't. I do. Well, he doesn't.
Please keep that. Please keep that one. Please keep that one. I was fasting in prayer, you know, reading the word a lot, and just hit me.
Do you swear off the air? You haven't sworn this podcast.
No.
No?
No, I don't swear.
Okay.
I try not to.
Pornography?
I try not to. No.
What do you mean no?
No, pornography, I don't do it. I used to.
What? Well, because of Jesus?
Yes.
You think Jesus is mad at me when I look at pornography?
Why? I don't think he likes it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he likes it. It kind of changes the way you kind of changes the way you look at women.
Alcohol?
No, I drink alcohol.
You do?
I've never been drunk, but I drink alcohol.
You've never been drunk in your life?
No.
Hmm. Drugs?
No, I don't do drugs.
Okay. And you got rid of that, the hair, the nose ring and the
That had nothing to do with
stuff?
No, that was, and I think at the time, and by the way, let me just make it clear, as I said to you earlier.
You're not a perfect man.
No, this is right. It's not about being. It's not about being righteous.
We know.
That's not what Christianity is. I think
you're more flawed than anybody.
I think Christianity needs kind of like a campaign, a PR campaign.
Well, you get into this sort of.
Because a lot of times you say you're a Christian, you're religious.
Well, I think of Kirk Cameron now.
Then you
think. Does that make sense?
Then you think, oh, okay, this guy, you know, he hates homosexuals. He does that. No.
Do you hate homosexuals?
No, absolutely not.
There must be some homosexuals you hate.
No, well, I don't know them.
Okay. No. You don't know any homosexuals?
No, I do know homosexuals. The homosexuals I know, I do not hate.
I hate Buckley sometimes when he tells these stories.
Do you?
Yeah, you know, when he's rambling about some story, I hate him. It's not because he's gay. I just hate the stories.
Yeah. So, you know, but this will give you context, too. I know you don't want to hear much about Christianity, but I'm going to tell
you. Go ahead.
But I do pray for you.
L.J. Parson, you do not pray for me.
I do.
You pray for Kirk Minahan.
Yes, I do.
Individually?
Yes.
When? How?
I pray for all, every day.
Pray for everybody.
No, I'm saying. I pray for, before I go on the air, I pray for my colleagues.
Are you offended by some of the things I say on the air?
No.
Because I say some.
No. Am I offended? No. No, I'm not.
As a Christian, you don't say, geez, I wish you wouldn't say that.
No. No, I don't.
Okay.
Absolutely not. But my great-grandfather started a church, so he was a pastor.
This is not from your, this is from your mom's side.
Yes. My mom's grandfather.
Right.
Was a pastor, Mount Calvary Baptist Church, Akron, Ohio. If you're ever in Akron, check it out.
Swing right by.
So, and then my grandfather was a preacher too. My mother is pretty much she should be. I mean, she's unbelievable. You'll have a conversation with my mother. You ask her a question, and she can just quote any book of the Bible off the top of her head and give you the history of it and context. So, yeah, I was raised. Yeah,
and some kids go the other way. Right?
I was that kid. I was that kid from I'd say from like 18. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get out of church because I went to, this is one of these old school
all
churches,
day?
All day, ugh. Get up at like 9 o'clock in the morning and get home at 3 p.m. And I told my mom didn't know this until recently. She used to give the announcements in the church and she'd sit in the front and all the prayer warriors up there. And I'd see her sitting in the front and I would dip out. I'd run home and watch football games. Mm-hmm. And then I'd kind of time it out and say, yeah, well, it's about halftime, so church should be wrapping up now. I'd run back.
Right.
And she didn't know I was doing that every Sunday during football season until I just told her a couple of years ago. What's that?
You know who knew?
Who knew?
God knew.
God was pleased?
I don't think God was pleased.
Skip
all the masturbation and the porn you want. It's not going to go away.
Forgiveness. Christianity is all about forgiveness.
That's the other thing. So if I ask for forgiveness at the very end, I'm fine.
If you mean it, sincerely ask
for
forgiveness.
It's like LJ Part 2.
So, I mean, I'm saying, but you can't just say, I ask for forgiveness and then just.
What kind of God? I don't want to do this because I'm sure you got a million things you got to do. But what kind of God says, you know what? I'm not sure your forgiveness is real, so I'm not going to forgive you. Go to hell.
No, but that's what God is not saying. I'm not sure your forgiveness is real. God knows what your heart is.
What if your forgiveness, what if you're a nice guy? You're a good guy.
Yeah.
Looks like, say me, flawed, sure.
Yeah.
But a good guy, a good dad, a good son, a good earner. Lives a good life, and at the end, isn't really sure, and doesn't really want forgiveness. God's going to say to this guy, nope, not seeing it, goodbye, go to hell?
Maybe.
Maybe. What kind of guy is that?
I don't know. Maybe.
What is that about?
Maybe. You're
starting to change your mind, aren't you?
No, I'm not changing my mind at all.
He's got tube galore on the phone
I'm not changing
my
mind at all.
He's out.
No, I'm good.
You have that third beer.
I'm good.
All right. Fine.
But I'm not really a beer drinker.
Wine? You seem like a wine guy.
I drink a little wine.
Yeah, you're so thoughtful with your wine. You know, Kirk and Callahan with their penis jokes, and we're going to go do our thing.
Why do you think, why do you think I think that about you guys? Have I ever said that? Have I ever complained to you? I don't like the way you do radio.
Have you ever complained to me?
I'm above it all. Never.
No, you never have.
Never have.
Have I ever complained to you?
Oh, of course.
Like when?
Oh, yeah.
We have no relationship.
We got to work on that.
You think so?
You think we should work on our relationship or no?
Do you really want to spend any time with me? You spent an hour and a half with me. Isn't it awful?
It's an hour and a half.
Whatever it's been. Doesn't it fly by?
Has it been?
See how talented I am?
Man.
Yeah, right?
I think we'd be all right.
What?
I mean, if we spend some time together.
What do you want to do?
Yeah,
do you play golf?
I don't play golf. You?
Yeah, I play golf. Yeah.
No? Yeah. You want to go to church?
And I do not want to go to
church. You don't
want to
go?
I go to church a couple times a year.
You do? You've been to church twice? So a couple times a year?
Sure, yeah.
Why?
My wife is a CCD teacher. She teaches Sunday school. Wow, for, Catholic school.
Believe
me,
I know what CCD is. I went to Catholic school too.
Right, that's right. So I was Catholic. My wife is super Catholic. My children being raised Catholic, which is cool.
Do you ever say to your kids, "What kind of God? If I don't do this, I'm a good
no,
dad."
No, I play the God game the whole way with them. I use God as a pun. Like I'll say, "You do realize, Harry, that God is watching you right now." Like right. I'll do that.
You say prayers at the house too before dinners and all that stuff.
No. Do you?
Yeah.
You do the whole prayer before dinner?
Yeah.
And your kids are kind of rolling their eyes a little bit.
No,
like, let's just eat. Let's get the kids.
The kids.
Yeah.
The other day, mm-hmm. I was talking to one of my sons, my oldest. Mm-hmm. Robinson.
He's eight years old. That's a good age.
And he said, he was asking about fasting. What is it? And he said, what is a fast?
Do you do that now?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. What? You don't think fasting, but it's good. It's a good thing.
Gandhi did it.
Who?
Gandhi.
Gandhi did it? Yeah.
Flawed guy. Not a great guy. Not
Jesus
one of my favorites.
Did it too.
Jesus began with the beard. Not my favorite.
So, no, he was talking about fasting. I explained it to him. And I said, no, you'll do it in a couple years. I said, you're too young.
Right.
You'll do it in a couple years. He said, no, I could do that for Jesus. See, 8 years old. On his own.
You're starving his 8 year old kid?
He didn't do it yet.
How old? When do you start starving your children?
When he wants to. I remember what I was doing. I did it around 9 or 10.
Weren't you starving by like dinner time?
Yes.
Would you just have water?
Sacrifice. Yeah.
You couldn't have like a wheat thin or anything?
A what?
A wheat thin?
No.
A Cheeto?
No.
Nothing? You can't do anything?
No.
For 24 hours.
Sometimes longer, and there are different kinds of fast. I mean, this you can fast you can skip lunch, you can skip dinner, you can just.
Is that what Dale did?
The 180, the Awaken 180
is
fast.
That's a fast.
It's a fast.
I didn't realize.
You know, they kind of left that part out.
Is that what Lou's doing?
Awaken 180, and then at the end, in parentheses, fast.
All right, I'll let you go. It's Belichick
right,
and Brady.
Man.
It's Poppy.
My story,
and then something. What's the next idea? Nothing right now.
I don't know. You have any ideas? You got anything for me?
I do think there's you just did half of it. But
My memoir. I'm going to do a memoir one day.
You got to reconcile with your dad for that to work at the end.
Yeah.
You need that. You got to make that.
Maybe that's why I need
it. Just do it for the book. Just do it for the book.
Listen, okay. can I secretly record them?
I do feel like there's a great Brady biography waiting to be written, like warts and all.
I think somebody's somebody working on it now?
Mark Leibovich is writing it, right?
Isn't he still doing it?
Yeah, but he seems like he's very pro-Brady. I'm talking about.
Oh, you want to just.
I want the Guerrero stuff. I want all this. I don't want, you know, the Hag. I want a real book. I feel like there's something. Don't you think there's something there?
Sure.
Maybe Perlman, that kind of guy, will write it. I don't know. Maybe you'll write it.
Yeah, I'd love to.
So you got nothing right now?
Nothing right now.
I'm keeping you forever. Did you have a Celtics book that you wrote?
I had a Celtics book that was in the works, and this broke my heart because I really wanted to do it. It was the last year Doc and KG,
and
I didn't know it was going to be the last year when I decided to do it. And I didn't get the access I felt I needed to make it work.
Were you writing the book?
And Doc was great in the beginning.
Right.
They all said, "Oh, sure, you can travel with us and
right.
you know, watch some practices." But I needed more time.
Did you
with
begun
some
writing
of the
book at that point, or did you stop before it even?
It was in the research. It was in the research.
And it just didn't work.
Reporting.
Why? Because of
access
to Garnett.
Well, all of them. Garnett,
or even Pierce.
Well, I mean, Doc primarily, because I said,
right.
I said, Doc, I always try to scare people in the beginning in these access books. I'm going to be around all the time. You're going to get tired of seeing me.
Right.
And then if they still say yes, then I think I prepared them for the process. And it's not going to be that bad. I make it worse than it's going to be. And then I kind of.
Oh, I know your next book that you're going to write. The Genius. Your book with John Farrell, right?
Oh, he is. He's a special guy.
You and Farrell.
He's a special man.
I got to talk to him at spring training. I think that's going to be a little awkward.
I don't think he's going to talk to you.
You really don't? Do you think that knowing or do you?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't think he'll talk to me?
I think it'll be awkward in the beginning.
That's good, though. That's okay, though.
Because he's a nice guy.
Is he a nice guy?
He is a nice guy.
Okay, I guess. He's not one of your great managers. I want a Danny Ainge book.
A book on Ainge exclusively?
With Ainge. Is there a market for
no,
that?
No, I'm saying, but yeah, I don't know. I think something on the Celtics would work.
They got to win.
Because let's see if we agree on this. I know you love, but you're a well-read guy. I hear you talking about, you make these literary references all the time.
Yeah,
you're a pretty deep guy.
I try to be.
So, best basketball book ever written is?
Well, everybody says The Breaks of the Game.
Which is correct.
Well, I know, but I agree. So, I'll tell you an underrated book that didn't get enough credit at the time, which is an insight into Bird like nobody else, that Jack McCallum book.
It was great. Yeah,
Unfinished Business.
That was part that was part of my research. Yeah,
was it
terrific? He had some
great book.
He had them on the bus.
Yes,
you know, Joe. He got some stuff out of Parrish. He got great stuff from Parrish. How about the cough
stuff
from Eddie Pinckney,
which I still remember.
Only the cough during the season. His wife says, he doesn't do that
this
in the offseason.
Weird tick that he had.
Oh, it was great.
And he kind of had a team that was interesting because Lewis and Shaw and Brown were starting
the young
to rise
guys are coming up, and
the old guys. That's an underrated basketball.
That is a terrific book.
The Breaks of the Game is probably the best basketball book.
I think it's the best one. So there needs to be like a Breaks of the Game type book for this. I think the Celtics are right there because they're not a championship team yet, but in a couple of years, you could really time it up with them being in championship contention. I'd love to do
it. So get to work on that.
Yeah, maybe.
Just get your ass in gear. Start doing that. Stop fasting and start writing.
I just need to be a dad and husband right now, man. I've had the office door closed for a year and a half.
All right, and take it easy. Don't give Dale the shiv, okay? Try and incorporate him and you and Keith are joking around, having a good time. Let him in, because I can tell you it ends poorly. It can get ugly. I'm telling you from experience.
I can't believe you did that to John Dennis, man.
You
pushed him into retirement. You feel guilty about it at all?
Did you talk to him at all when you left?
No.
You didn't give him a text to goodbye?
I did.
Did he respond?
I think I gave him a... No, actually, I saw him come in.
He came in
one day.
You like Dino, right?
I did.
You like everybody, though.
I do.
There's nobody you dislike right now at the station.
No.
Not one person.
That I dislike?
Yes.
No. Who do you dislike at the station? You actually dislike somebody at the station?
Well, I would say that there are certain people on other shows that I've had a mixed relationship with.
Well, sure, but that's just human. I mean, of course.
But it's to a different level, you would agree.
Well, I've gone back and forth with people at the station, but it's temporary.
Yeah, I hope so.
We're all one happy family, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, it's Belichick and Brady, and what is it, Poppy? What, a love story? What is it? What is it?
My story.
My
Poppy,
story.
My story.
It's in English, right?
It's in English and Spanish.
Is he going to do the...
He's going to do the tour.
The audio, we can do with him?
No. I don't know. Probably, there'll probably be somebody doing it. I don't know if it's going to be him.
When Belichick and Brady comes out in paperback, it will say bestseller?
I hope so.
Was it a bestseller?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know if
you don't pay attention to this stuff?
It was definitely a New England bestseller, no question. I don't know if it was a Times bestseller list. That's a different podcast for a different day. So it all depends on when the book comes out and who you're competing with.
So you're going to come back on. You will come back on when the Poppy book comes out.
Sure, I'll come back on.
You're telling us that.
Yeah, come back. I have nowhere. You keep this premise you have that I got a problem with you. I don't have a problem with you.
Who said that? I've never
you
said
do.
That.
You do.
No.
You think.
Why do you keep bringing this up? You have some issue.
Jerry and Kirk, they tell penis jokes, and I don't like it. I've never said that.
But you do think you're sort of above it, a little bit. A little bit. Do you realize that since we started talking, there's been two presidents in our conversation?
Mm.
We've talked during two presidential administrations.
Wow.
When we started, one man was president. We ended, another man was president. Donald Trump is your president right now.
I know. I'm going to have to deal with this one.
You voted for him.
I did not vote for him.
No?
No, I didn't. Did you?
No, I voted for Hillary Clinton, which drove Jerry crazy.
Good.
My reason,
good for you.
Which drove me even crazier, was I could not look at Kate Minahan, my daughter, and say I voted for Donald Trump.
Right.
I couldn't, because I think the guy actually sexually assaulted women.
Yeah, and among other things.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, yeah. Do you think Hillary was a great candidate?
I don't think Hillary was a great candidate.
Also that.
And the problem is, you know, if she had the turnout, the African-American turnout that Obama did, easily.
Well, yeah.
She easily would have won.
But that's her fault.
But it couldn't. Well, yeah, it's just not. She couldn't garner enough, generate enough excitement to push her over the top. I mean, it's too bad. It's too bad. You know, you think about. I don't want to think.
You ready for the show today? You're going to be worn out for the show?
No, I'm good, man.
2 o'clock, we're going to get
I'm
what?
Good.
We're going to get what at the top. Don't preview the game.
Oh, you don't want to?
Don't preview the game. Do not preview the game. Don't.
So what should we do today?
Just stick
Charlotte
around.
Wilder?
Just stick around. Talk about other stuff. We did Belichick's press conference. You probably don't listen. I know you listen to the show much. You've made that clear. Do you listen to when we mock the Belichick press conference and we talk over
the
Belichick?
I'm so above it. I'm so above it.
Do you listen to that when we talk over the Belichick press conference stuff? When we do that? It's funny. It's funny.
Is it? You sure?
Yes, it's funny.
You're getting good engagement? You know,
good,
texters,
wonderful engagement.
Texters
it's good,
say, yeah,
it's
that's
good,
fun.
What's it called? Lateral cross promotion? What do they always say? What did Graham always say?
Well, you know what we're going to do?
Cross, what was it? Lateral and horizontal?
Horizontal and vertical.
This is what we're going to do.
Rate the program directors.
We're going to.
Jason Wolf, Kevin Graham, Joe Zarbano.
This is what we're going to rank them?
Yeah.
Oh, Zarbano can't be in there yet. Who knows what he is as a program director?
I like him because he has everything I say.
I don't know. I mean, he's got to be third for now. How do you know what he is?
You're putting him behind Graham?
Yeah, for now.
I actually like Graham.
I like Graham, too.
That's a person I like.
You got to put Wolfie first.
I guess, yeah.
You have to. Look at the record. You got to look at the record.
He was there for Salk.
You got to look at the Super Bowls.
He was there for Salk.
Hey, he didn't hire him, though.
Well, he could have said no.
He was being told
he could have said this is a disaster. It cost him his job.
Oh, come on now. You know, everybody's not rich like you, man.
Oh, I love this idea, too. I mean, I'm rich now.
Yeah,
highest paid guy at the station.
Come on now. Are you?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Even higher than your mentor, Callahan?
Have you seen Callahan's paycheck?
Blow him away?
It's embarrassing.
He didn't even show it to you?
Curtis makes more than Callahan.
Oh, man.
He does. So now, Callahan's there, by the way.
That's embarrassing.
He's there. With that man right there, the
and this is not even a. This is, you know what, this is, and I'm glad you voted for Hillary. This is not even a. This is not even a Republican.
Why do you
Democrat
got
to
go? What do you got? What are you driving?
What
driving
time where? Is it?
We were a remote broadcast.
You do where?
In Sharon.
You're in Sharon today.
Yeah.
What time is it? All right, this, get out of here. It's 12:20. If you're late for because of this podcast, it's fine.
This is what we're gonna do.
Maybe Dale and Keith will actually like each other.
We're gonna start. It's not that bad. We're gonna start the show today with
Trump.
With your belly. No, 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 not Trump.
He's the president.
I don't
it's the
care.
Biggest story
I don't
in the
care
country.
If you want to hear.
Stop.
I don't care.
Stop.
I do not.
You don't care,
care
that Donald Trump's.
A
president.
I do not care that not for the from 2 to 6. We're not going to talk about Donald Trump's inauguration.
What
are you
is
serious?
This great sound?
I don't care. But watch it. Watch Fox.
Bad
watch,
instinct.
No, no.
We're gonna start with Belichick.
That is terrible. That I don't care if it's the AFC Championship game. And yeah, he's going to be the president tomorrow. He's going to be the president in 2 weeks. In 2 years, don't care. No way I would start the show with Donald
Trump. What are you going to start with?
Football.
What does
that
mean?
We're going to start with your Belichick, talking over Belichick sound. We're going to start with that.
You should. That's a good move.
We're going to find it and see if it's funny. I'm going to judge it on the air and see if it's funny.
I'm going to be listening.
Okay.
2 o'clock.
You'll listen
to my show, I will listen to yours.
Hey, thanks for having me on the Enough About Me podcast.
We'll have you on again in May. Is that right when the book
comes
out?
That's right. I'll be here.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Thanks again for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. Actually, you know what? I'm really not thankful at all. You should be thanking me. You get this shit every week, these great podcasts, totally free. Do me a favor. Would you go to iTunes, download it, go to Stitcher, do the same, and leave a rating, leave a review. That's where you can help me out. This podcast is going to be number one again. I guarantee it. And you're going to help me along with the process. So for that, I guess at the end, maybe I will thank you. There's a lot of thank yous going back and forth. Here's the point. Fuck you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.